Motion come out of the executive session.
Motion by Leonard King.
Second.
Second by Debbie Pasno. Is there any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now we'll move into the general, or the non-executive session portion of the meeting. We have a presentation scheduled tonight, employee recognition by Director Short and Principal Fichette.
Don't step too far away from me. Tonight, employee recognition is for someone that demonstrated a tremendous amount of caring and thoughtfulness in helping a neighboring school district.
When one of our neighboring school districts had a fire and lost all their books, these two individuals came up with a fabulous idea of collecting gently used books so that we could share our extras with those in need. They gave their own personal time to collect the books and deliver the books.
So tonight we'd like to recognize Barb and Charlie Stone.
Thank you from the board to Charlie and Barb. We really appreciate it. Thank you for taking time out to do that. Next, we have College for Every Student. Presenter is Andrew McDonald. If you could come to the front, please.
Do you mind if I sit?
No, that's fine. I forgot you had questions.
Sorry. This is new for me. I'm Andrew McDonald. I am the program director with College for Every Student that is working directly with Beekman Town. I am also our organization's college ambassador. We're located in Essex, New York, so I work not only with our Adirondack schools, but with our network of 200 schools in 29 states and all of our college partners. And I just want to give you a little overview of who we are as an organization and how we've been working with Beekman Town in a very short period of time in our partnership. I'm really excited about where we are and where we're headed. College for Every Student is a nonprofit that focuses on raising the aspirations of students in underrepresented communities, which means reasonably high levels of poverty, high levels of students who may be the first in their families to go to college. Our mission is to not only help them get on the path to college, but really be college and career ready. So we work with K-12 schools at the elementary level, developmentally appropriate, which is more career focused and who are you and who do you want to be, and that sort of thing. We have a network of about 200 colleges that, as a partner, you have access to on many different levels. Beekman Town has started, really hit the ground running as a first year school. I think did a really really wonderful job at our planning and training workshop at the end of September. There was representation from all the buildings in the district when we gathered in Essex at the end of September, really focusing on what are you doing already that fit the three core practices of College for Every Student, which are mentoring, leadership through service, and pathways to college. So I was here today meeting with some groups in the middle and high school talking about the mentoring program that's already in place, how it's going, and how I, as an individual in CFES, as an organization, can offer support to that to take it to the next level. We don't want to reinvent the wheel. Nobody in education has time for that. So I think Beekman Town as a district has done a great job of taking inventory of all three of those practices. So the right hand and the left hand all know what the other is doing. So we'll be working together throughout the year. In November, just about 3 weeks from now, there'll be a team from the district at our national conference in Burlington. That national conference will have about 400 people in attendance, K-12 educators, higher ed leaders, corporate and philanthropic leaders. So it's a really nice opportunity for networking. And as some of the conversations I had today come together, it's a time for the educators here to network with people who are doing similar things and have similar goals. So again, not reinventing the wheel, but borrowing from people who are already doing some of the things that you'd like to be doing. That's it in a nutshell. I'm really happy to answer any questions that anybody might have.
You know, I'd like to just tag on to what you were saying is not reinventing, but also a lot of this is connecting with other school districts. And just at the organizational meeting in September, we ended up partnering with Plattsburgh City School District, and our kids are going to have access to going to two different events that they're running for college awareness, financial aid. And then we offer like services at the end of the winter, and we'll invite them over. And then we also started a challenge for our winter sports program, which we're sure of even how we'll win that.
Can I come present the trophy?
You sure can.
Great. So there'll be a number of other activities throughout the year that are just part of the partnerships. They're not add-ons. All of our participating districts are welcome to join those. So beyond the conference in November, we'll have mentor trainings for students at our CFES Center in Essex. We can also come here, and I'm sure I will come here, to train mentors who aren't able to attend for whatever reason, whether it's adult mentors or students. We'll have a College Connect event in December that will bring our 12 Adirondack schools, our Connecticut, and some New York City schools together, again in Essex, with 15 to 20 college partners who are really looking to have better access to students who meet the demographic that we're working with. They're finding it as challenging as the rest of us to get low-income or first-generation students through the door and certainly across the stage. So the colleges are really eager to join on as well.
If we look at this as for our students with the college pathway, this is, you know, clearly in that pathway. But our students who are not in the college pathway, who may be on the workforce pathway, there's a strong career connection here. And also the connection that even if you go into a career, a strong career down the road, you're going to need some continuing education. It's important for our kids to realize that just when you leave Beatman Town, if you have a high school diploma, when you go into the workforce, the chances of you not needing continuing education to improve and enhance your position is almost non-existent these days. So that's another.
And although the title of our organization is College for Every Student, we define that as any education past high school. And if that's a certificate program because that's what's appropriate for that student, that is something we value just as much as the more traditional four-year track and everything in between.
Does anyone have any questions? Thank you very much, Ms. Pinal. We appreciate you coming here tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Next public comment. We've set aside 10 minutes for public comment. Anyone from the audience would like to address the board, please come forward.
We have some folks who came in who didn't sign in. Should I be encouraged to do so we know who's here?
Also, if you haven't signed in when you came in this evening, there's a sign-up pad up front. If you could please sign in. Also, I'd just like to note that the board's policy is to ensure that the public participates in public comment, but we cannot and will not tolerate mention of specific students or staff members. Is there anyone that would like to speak? Please approach and state your name, please.
My name is Carl Costin. I'm a resident of town Beatman Town. Just like to inform the board of an incident that happened in the cafeteria on 9/18, where a staff member dumped a substance on a student's head. They came up with a comment of, "You got my attention now." I think that's really unreasonable, inappropriate. Hopefully it's being dealt with. But also as a result of this, the student reported the incident to administration. As a result of this, he was suspended 2 days later. Doing the right thing, doing exactly what he says as your handbook says. The information that was...
I'm going to interject for a second, sir. It's important that we don't mischaracterize the events here because there's employees involved and you're becoming dangerously close to mischaracterizing.
And I'm minimizing, sir.
The student, if your characterization is the student was suspended because they reported the incident, that's a mischaracterization, and I'd like to inform the board that we're going to be dangerously close to infringing upon our public comment rights.
Understand. As a result of him reporting the incident and certain things that came up He did the right thing. Supervisor from the mess hall called the parents. Everything was okay. They were taking care of the situation. It was settled. Was called by administration later on that afternoon requesting to speak to the student. The parents went in with the student the next day, the next morning, to answer questions that administration had. After the questions were asked, student requested to go to class. Pass were written. No further action was taken. Everything seemed appeared to be settled. Approximately 3 hours later after that, parents received a phone call from administration. Student then suspended.
So, sir, I'm going to ask you, and I know we spoke, and I know I handed you our complaint policy. Mm-hmm. And our complaint policy says that if you have a public complaint, by policy, I'm informing the board this right now, by policy, mm-hmm, you are obligated to put that complaint in writing, and then I'm obligated to discuss this with the board if necessary. You haven't done that. So if this seems to be a complaint, I can't characterize it any other way, mm-hmm, we're gonna shut it down because we've all agreed to follow policy here, and we're gonna ask you to abide by the policy. I've actually spoken to your attorney and informed him of the policy as well and sent him the policy. So, mm-hmm, I'm gonna ask you to sit down and you can follow the policy, and when I receive your written documentation, I promise you that I will sit down with you again, I've told your attorney this, and I will bring any concerns that you may have, I'll promise the board, I will bring any concerns that you may have to the Board of Education. At this point, I'm going to ask
I've got one more point to make, and it's not. The board has to realize also that with certain responsibilities and certain positions you hold,
it seems like you're still complaining, sir.
So I'm not complaining. It's just the point of
it. Ask it.
The comments that you have, are they related to anything other than a current investigation?
Well, administration, as far as I'm concerned, assistant administrator.
Okay, we're going to have to cut it. We hired an attorney and there's pending litigation, so if it's related to that, we're not going to be able to talk about it right now. So I'd advise you to contact Mr. Musha and have him address it with the superintendent at this point.
Excessive punishment.
No, that's enough. So thank you for coming forward tonight. Is there anyone else that would like to make a comment tonight? Seeing none, reports and presentations, Superintendent of School, Mr. Maris.
Okay, some of you may have seen in the paper recently, I think it was last week, that Northeast Clinton and quite a few other districts have been having troubles with substitute teachers, finding substitute teachers, that is. And we are no different, and I wanted to bring this to your attention. We've talked about it at the administrative team meeting. We also have a component in the contract that pays at the high school level, and I believe the middle school, high school level, when a teacher is needed to cover another class, you know, during one of their free periods, we pay the teacher $30. Well, when you don't have a substitute for five classes, that adds up very, very fast. And we are paying out that $30 per class at an alarming rate right now. We've talked at the administrative team meeting on different strategies we can use, we can utilize, and we have a subfinder system titled ASOP, and we can make some changes to ASOP, and we're requesting our staff make some changes so that other people can be called and called sooner. Some people do believe that our rate actually isn't low compared to other districts, but it's very similar. So people do believe that if we improved our rate, we may improve the number of subs that want to work here. I would be remiss if I didn't bring to your attention that there are districts that raised the rate and it still didn't solve the problem. I think definitely one of the problems, and we talked about it today earlier, was you know, it's no secret, education's been under attack. There's not a lot of people that want to go into that profession. It's become a lot harder. There's more exams. You need a lot more education to become a teacher. And then on top of that, there's just not a lot of jobs out there. So, you know, if you want to go through and go all the way through college and you obtain your master's degree and then spend 5 years, 6 years, 7 years without finding employment, that's just not very enticing. So we don't have a, previously we had a lot of certified teachers around grooming ready to be employed. Back, let's call it the golden age of education, when money was flowing into education. That hasn't been the case since 2008. And because of that, it's just a very, very limited pool. We are approving 5 or 6 subs today on the list, which should have a small impact. But I wanted to bring it up to your attention. It's something that we could put on a board agenda in the future, of me potentially raising the rate. We're at $90 for a sub, maybe moving it to 100. Another idea, which I want you to think about, is before we would have full-time subs that would show up every day ready to take over, because we knew basically every day there's going to be 1, 2, 3, 4 absences in the school this size. The problem with a long-term sub is it's a very, you pay them on step one, and they receive all the benefits of a probationary teacher, okay? One of the concepts, if they are a long-term sub for more than, I believe it's 20 weeks, okay? Half a school year, 40 weeks of school year. One of the proposals for us to consider, not tonight, but for us to consider in the near future, is maybe having 90-day blocks for long-term subs that will allow our administrators to evaluate them over 90 days and have a discussion. Is this somebody we want to continue calling and grooming and growing our own, so to speak, and really, you know, latching onto that person and you know, because we do have a staff that will be turning over, not so much this year, although we do have a few in elementary school, but over the next 5 or so years, 5 to 7 to 10 years, we're going to have a pretty high turnover rate. So it'd be nice to start identifying who's going to fill those spots. I know our administrators are always doing that, but just another way to kind of formalize the process.
Do you see also if we had full-time subs, if they weren't needed on certain days, they could be utilized in other manner, such as, you know, assisting students who need help with math, reading, if it's a high school, chemistry, physics, whatever it is?
So I'm not sure what the term they use, but I asked the same question. I said, are we sure that when we have a sub come in, are we just using them for the 5 periods that teacher's out, or are we using them for all 9 periods? And the administrative staff said they are absolutely working them all the way through the processes.
Well, my point, and then I'll let them comment on it, was, so let's say I had 3 full-time subs, but I only have 2 teachers out today.
Oh, we would.
I have a teacher who's just sitting there. They don't have a classroom to teach, but boy.
Okay, let me.
I'm sure every one of them, well, I can tell because they're nodding their head, has a need. So I'm just because if we were to make that the sort of investment, we need to know that we're going to be able to maximize those dollars so that it would not only solve a sub problem, but also maybe have some academic benefits beyond.
So I'm going to just take a guess. If I'm Principal Colazo and I have the resource, she's probably pulling that person into SOAR, into the alternative ed program. I'm just guessing.
The learning center.
But the learning center, or the learning center. And then the Principal Prichette, Principal Dixon, and Principal, right now, Interim Principal Short, would be pushing that worker in for AIS services and just, you know, flashcards, skill and drilling students, small grouping with students. And Principal Campbell, you have an eclectic group in the middle school. I'm not sure how you use them, but I'm sure.
We would put them to work.
I know that. So, yeah, we wouldn't let that resource go to waste by any stretch of the imagination.
Did any of the administrators want to be heard on that?
On
what Eric brought up?
No, I agree. We would definitely, that person would not be underutilized. They would have lots of roles to play. Plus, the nice thing about having someone on staff like that, they know the students. So you're going to get more bang for your buck, whereas a day per diem, a day-by-day sub, is always a mercy of they don't know the students as well, the students don't know them, so you just don't have the same impact as you have someone that they see in the building all the day that they know is connected to the school.
What would be the significance of the 90 days?
Well, because if it's for the full year, where it's the step, health insurance, benefits, sick days, if it's 90 days, it's still a pretty good chunk of time when we can evaluate them and see how they're working out. I'm not saying that after 90 days we wouldn't want to continue in some form, but it would allow us, we guarantee you 90 days, but after 90 days, you know, we may move on to see somebody else. Or we could also, give you 90 days and you're so good, take a break and call you back for another 90 days. So it's cost savings, it's turnover, it's a chance to identify people. So, just a couple possibilities out there. It's going to be probably back up for discussion. We had a goal this year. One of our goals this year was our parental involvement, identifying parental involvement and tracking it. And I give a lot of praise to our administrative team for doing just that. And we wanted to hand out a document with our Beatmatown Central School District parental involvement activities. And I don't think it's a surprise to anybody that parental involvement at the elementary school is very, very, very strong. When I was walking around for open houses or even just activities, classroom activities on a random Wednesday, the percentage in third grade and fourth grade and second grade is usually hovering at around 90%. I mean, it's odd. It's strange when they're missing three parents at the elementary school for just about any activity.
Yeah.
So it's very strong. They have strong PTOs. It's nice that the Beatmatown Elementary PTO seem to kind of gain a little momentum, and they're back up and running. A lot of opportunities. I know that the middle school and high school have expanded their opportunities, and I give both principals a lot of credit for sticking to it. I know, we talked, I think it's been in a few updates, that the middle school would have principal evenings. They'd have principal evenings, and maybe two or three parents would show up. They go through the whole program, and they schedule another principal evening. And I think it's a valuable evening, and I think it's something that I hope that the parents see as valuable as I do, and I'm sure as the Board of Education does. And I know that the Beatmatown High School has, I mean, they focus a lot of their efforts on the Booster Club and the prom parties. That's a big piece for the PTFO, but there's a lot of other activities that are outlined here as well. You do see pretty strong connections to our concerts and our music events. I was fortunate to go to a lot of those. And, of course, our sporting events have a lot of participation as well. But you don't see an open house, you know, the kids that are struggling, you don't see their parents there like you probably want to. And the kids that are achieving, I think a lot of parents are very happy and supportive, but they're very busy as well. So we'd like to see more, but it's kind of the nature of the beast.
One of the things I know we have parental involvement for some of the things that are periphery, not that they're not important, but they're periphery to academics. But, you know, for example, when I look at a couple of elementary, I mean, certain ones are clearly academic-driven, parent-teacher conferences, the open house, some things like that, STEM nights. Because I think one of the things that I think would be very important to know as a board would be which parents are actively engaged in their students' academic needs, whether that's through helping the students or just being aware of how their students are performing, because, you know, it's a critical component. I mean, you know, I know, for example, we have our parent portal.
Right.
Having that sort of information that, you know, would be, you know, because a parent who maybe doesn't help out with the PTO and doesn't help out with FSO and all these other things, but if they're on there,
sure,
you know, once a week checking on how their kid's doing, that parent's, you know, whether that parent's out there helping their kid, they're at least actively looking at to see how their kid is doing in school. And I think that's an important component because, you know, we can only do, you know, the educators can only do so much at school. And then there's a component when the kid's at home, kid's at summer, that knowing that sort of level, I think, would be very helpful to us to know where we're at with that, and then how can we get, you know, let's say it's 70%. Well, if we can get that up to 80%, or we can target those students who really are in desperate need and get that up to get them up, I think that's a key way for us to help those students.
We can check and see if there's a way to track, not necessarily who, but how, what the percentage is in a room of parents that are logging on, probably at the higher levels to school tool. We know that if it's, if we're talking in class sizes of 24 and only three students are missing, we know that that's about an 85, somewhere 80-85% parent participation rate at the pretty steady at the elementary school for academic, non-academic events. You know, whether it's the open house or, you know, the play that the play they're putting on out on the new cabana that they built. But we can look at it. We can look at it, and then and also don't forget, new this year with our Title I money is expanded on this is our parent academy, and some of the events that we have planned are pretty exciting.
Just to second what Eric was saying, I know that several parents use the parent portal quite a bit, not just for high school, middle school, but also elementary.
Yeah.
And what one of the biggest benefits to them is that it anticipates maybe some challenges that kids might be having in certain classes so that they can come to the child and say, okay, let's review what happened in this class before you get back on Monday, for example. Mm-hmm. So it really kind of assists the teacher, and that way the teacher doesn't have to do as much recovery in the class where she can spread her time with other students. So.
Good point.
All right. Mary Blaine's not here tonight, but covering for Mary is Eric Bell. He has a report for us.
Thanks for having me. And I do have a bit of a head cold, so I'm not going to have a lot of handshakes tonight. Small things on the financial part of the board meeting. We do have $189,000 in tax associated claims that we were asking the board to move into a reserve. It's been board past practice that we move money from our fund balance into the tax associated reserve for any lawsuits that are brought against the district for their tax payments. So this is the list of them, and you can see how serious some of them can be, as one is $81,000 for just one property. But we do have the excess fund balance, and that's what we're asking the board to do, is move it into the reserve. Also, the audit report was taken off this, and so you know it was because of one missing item from an outside source. I have got confirmation from the auditor that the financials are completed, and once we have that one document, that our report's going to be sent to the state. It is due October 15th, and we have to present in front of the audit committee, which we did last audit committee meeting, and Mr. Mann can go into detail on that if he does with the audit committee report. But he did have the opportunity to meet with the audit committee, and now we've done what we've had to do. Once he has all the documentation, hopefully we can send it into the state tomorrow, since that is the due date. I know last year was a big push for the board because we were late. I believe we're in November, meeting with the full board doing this. So we have gone up to the deadline and are getting in on time as long as that outside source comes through.
Eric, usually, I mean, I know you can't generalize this, but how many of these claims are successful?
In my time, I cannot say that we've settled on any, and that's as far as I can go, I think.
CBPH this year.
Okay.
Was that?
Yeah.
That was a little tax assessment. It was a little different.
Yeah. Okay. But we have settled on one tax assessment lawsuit. So.
Do you have a question? No. All right. Mr. Hurwitz is not present tonight. Committee reports, operations.
We met September 26th. And we have variety of things to discuss. It was on our portal, but I'll fill in some of the gaps and inform the public a little bit about what we discussed. Natural gas has been in discussion for quite some time now. I personally called the project manager, a guy from NYSEG. His name is Tim Karski, and he projects that Cumberland Head will have a main running to that, to our Cumberland Head building by next year. So, you know, that's a big step in the right direction. It's gonna save us a lot of money. And I wanted to confirm that the reports were true that we had received from the Public Service Commission, because we have to think about converting our boilers, which would be a good big expense. And he says, no, we're charging ahead. And in fact, they're already expanding on the main that's running through the town of Plattsburgh in some areas right now as we speak. So that definitely seems to be happening. And I asked him about coming to the main campus here, and he still projects 2016. which we believe is a little bit optimistic, but you know, that's what we're told. Another thing we discussed was a building condition survey, which is required by NYSED to do. And we've contracted with Tetra Tech, who's our architect engineer. They have done all the field work as of early October, reported to us by Dan Noonan, our building superintendent. And that ties into a few things. They're doing a building condition survey, but that's also going to guide us. Some of that information is going to also guide us into possibly deciding if we're going to do an energy performance contract with companies who provide that service, or make improvements and energy efficient improvements on our own through a capital project. So that also is charging ahead, because as of late October, well, where it stands now is the RFPs were, which is a request for proposal, will be sent to us, and then we will send it out to various companies who may be interested in providing that service to us. And we hope to hear back from them in late October, and even by November, Tetra Tech will make recommendations to us as far as which way we might want to go with this. And again, that could save our district lots of money through energy performance, or energy performance improvements, either through a company guiding us through that and guaranteeing savings, or just doing it on our own. Mr. Noonan also updated us in that meeting on improvements that were going on in Cumberland Head. They finished the pavilion, which was made by the PTO, but there was some structural problems with it. Well, they not only put it back up, but they actually covered it in vinyl so that it would be safer if kids ran into it, and they made it look really nice, and they did a really good job with that little pavilion, which is right behind the building, if you ever had a chance to go back there. So I would extend our thanks to the buildings and grounds crew who got that back up. In a very busy time in the fall preparing for the winter. Also, we got a soccer field now lined out back behind Cumberland Head, and a ball field which with a backstop which was promised to us. However, there's been some delays with the fencing contractor, and Dan Noonan, as of that meeting, was going to call them and put a little more pressure to see if that could get done before the snow falls. Dan had also updated us on just some general buildings and grounds issues. There's a problem with the auditorium roof. They're addressing that. He believes it's under warranty, so no large concerns of us, an expensive repair. And a retaining wall around a generator and some propane tanks, which seem to be a hazard here on this campus, but that will be addressed as well. So that's what they're working on.
Update, I guess. The RFP draft is in for the energy performance contract. And Mr. Noonan and I reviewed our energy usage for Cumberland Head and sent that to NYSIG today as requested. And the backstop is it up? I thought the backstop was up. I thought I heard that, but I haven't seen it either.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hagedorn. Audit Committee reports.
So Eric covered pretty much all the critical aspects. You have the external audit report, which we met with. No findings, which is great. This last few years have been improving, and you know, no findings whatsoever. I have to give credit to the business office. They've done a great job of great oversight, finding things, streamlining the system. I do want to highlight the comment. There was a point which you will find in there about our fund balance being over 4%. It's a discussion that we did have, and the general consensus that it's attributed to good fiscal management. Initially, we needed the money to bring in programs, which we did, which is great. We brought back needed language classes, art, music, all these kind of things that were necessary. And so between bringing that back and finding better ways to cut costs, we've been able to do more than we expected, and that's where the fund balance is where it is. Fortunately, we have enough to move into these categories of risk, which are the tax challenges. I would like to highlight on that issue is that this is an important aspect about for the business office, because it is a component of the budget that the district has no control over until after budget vote. So particularly for the public that may not know this, you know, we set the budget based on the planning that is being done by the administration, and the good job of the work they've done. And then suddenly, at this time of the year, we get this little how-do-you-do about, oh, wait, we don't want to pay this many taxes. And so that's something that we have to absorb in the budget, and we don't want to lose programs from next year. So this is a mechanism that allows us to conserve our sanity and our fiscal responsibility programmatically. Also, the internal audit, great as well. So we're pretty happy with the performance so far.
Can I just jump on to you? We can't plan, we can't budget these challenges, but this is a kind of challenge we're faced with from a number of companies. They're assessed at $800,000, they're structured, and they say that it's worth $80,000. We've got to cover that gap with our fund balance, okay, that lost tax revenue estimates. So there's literally, I don't know how many claims where they're saying it's 10% of the assessment value, and we are obligated to cover that gap. So it's we're working with the town and the county to try to partner in some way to limit the perception that this may be successful. So then therefore it would free up revenue for what? Our kids and other areas.
The other thing too, I don't know if you mentioned it or not, but a big concern was the OPEB number. The post-employment benefits went down by $15 million. I believe it was $90 million.
That's long-term liability.
Long-term liability. So I think that thanks to the teachers union and the support staff, we recognize a significant savings in the future. And the admin too. Sorry about that.
That's a good point, because that's a discussion we've had for several ongoing years, that number was increasing exponentially. And so we're very concerned about it. So we think. Thank you very much for that. I did want to highlight one last thing. I'd like to thank Dan and his staff. We've started to manage these challenges on the tax much more aggressively with more insight than we have in the past, because in the past it's been pretty much taking what's been dealt to us. And so we started some more communication with them, since we affect each other, and that's the right path to go.
Thank you, Ed. Next, resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education that the following resolutions on this consent agenda are hereby approved. Minutes, CSE and CPSC recommend.
Motion.
Motion second. By Eric Anderson, second by Debbie Pasno. Is there any discussions? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Next, resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education that the following resolution on this consent agenda, resignations and appointments A through L, are hereby approved.
Motion.
Motion by Leonard King.
Second.
Second by Kathy Buckley. Is there any discussion on any of the items?
Yeah, just a quick question. On J, typically we get copies of the contracts on the board portal or hand it out. Could you guys put that up, put those on there? And I don't think we've seen them. I know there were previous RFPs. But
we could put the RFP. They were responding. We could put whatever, however they responded to the RFP.
Yes,
on the board.
Exactly.
Okay,
right.
We can do that.
Okay. Is that good? So, whatever it is that we're agreeing to.
Yes.
The board needs to serve.
Yep. Anybody else? All those in favor? Opposed? None. Delegate the authority to the superintendent of schools to request an employee medical evaluation with regard to the ability to perform work duties without restrictions.
Motion.
Motion by Leonard King.
Second.
Second by Pauline Stone. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Approve industrial med testing and beach medical services to provide employee occupational health examinations at a cost consistent with the RFP.
Motion.
Motion by Debbie Pasco.
Second.
Second by Kathy Buckley. All those in favor? Sorry, is there any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? A request for an impartial hearing having been made and the board vice president having appointed Lynn Amelia in accordance with board policy, who was the next available person from the district's rotational hearing officer list. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Eric Anderson?
I'll second.
Kathy Buckley? Okay, upon motion by Eric Anderson, seconded by Kathy Buckley, Lynn Amelia is appointed to hearing officer in regard to a pending request for a hearing and is requested to issue a decision within the appropriate time period of the law and regulations. Is there a motion?
Oh, we already made a motion, right?
I need a motion. That was the language in the...
We're to discussion.
You don't need to do it again?
No.
Is there any discussion? Just to clarify, I was out on vacation. There was a request for a hearing officer to be appointed. Joanne called Leonard, and Leonard met, and they reviewed the list, and that's how this person's name was decided upon. So, seeing no discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to appoint Roxanna Palmer as a 50% full-time equivalent art teacher, effective October 15th, 2014, at a salary of $21,501.50. Roxanna Palmer holds an initial certification in the area of visual arts.
Motion.
Motion
second.
By Eric Anderson. Second, Kathy Buckley. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Miscellaneous. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the municipal cooperation agreement between the Beekmantown Central School District and the Northeastern Clinton Central School District, which will expire on June 30th, 2015, and to provide a waiver to policy 5150 in order to finalize the
motion.
Agreement. Motion by Debbie Passon.
I will second it.
Second by Eric Anderson. Discussion?
Just a general question on, did they do a cost benefit analysis between us and CVS? Just curious, where is it moved?
I don't think they did do a cost-benefit analysis. What the situation was, the student previously attended here needed some of our expertise.
Yeah. Sure.
Trusted it.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Financial. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education that the following resolutions on this consent agenda, transfer, financial reports, and tax certiorari, are hereby approved.
Motion.
Motion by Eric Anderson. Second. And it's roll call vote.
Okay.
No discussion.
Eric Anderson?
Yes.
Andrew Brockway?
Yes.
Kathy Buckley?
Yes.
Joseph Copley?
Yes.
Michael Hagedorn?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Ed Marin?
Yes.
Debbie Passano?
Yes.
Colleen Stone?
Yes.
Additional items to discuss. We had our board retreat last week, and we want to get a goal setting meeting scheduled as soon as possible so we can develop our goals for this year. We're looking at October 28th. Is anyone unavailable on that date? Do we have a time?
The goal setting?
Yeah, it's going to be a public meeting, so the public is invited to attend, but we haven't set time.
6:15.
6:15 was normal.
6:15, is that okay with everybody? All right,
for me.
So seeing no opposition to that, we'll set the board goal setting meeting for October 28th at 6:15 p.m.
I do have a question.
Eric?
To keep it from going, you know, hours and hours, because I mean, it's a pretty important topic, should we be sending, like if I have things that I think maybe the board should focus on, should I send them to you? Should I send them to the, you know, just like in an email, just so that everybody has given kind of their initial thoughts? Or I'm just wondering how we're going to do that so that we have something going in.
A framework going in.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I just want to make sure that we're not avoiding public meeting law. Would we be if it was just Eric and I, or a member and I, sharing something, or should all of us be discussed in public hearing?
Well, you're still going to discuss it in public.
Okay.
Rules.
Yeah.
That is the date of the NISBA convention, though.
Are you going? Who else is going to that? I mean, I want Ed to be here, too. Is there anyone else going to that?
No.
Does it have to, what's the 28th? Is that a Tuesday?
It's a Tuesday.
Does anyone else?
It's a whole week, Ed?
It's, this year it's Monday, Tuesday.
Would anyone be opposed to doing it? I don't know what my availability is.
What about the following week? Does it have to be this one?
It doesn't have to be this week. We just wanted to get it going, so we weren't significantly into the new year without having a meeting.
I'm going to guess I'm available. Right, I'm looking at my phone.
Is anyone available on the 4th? That's election day.
Monday the 3rd.
Yeah, we don't. I mean, like, we could do Monday the 27th, or I don't know what. However,
what date are you going?
Oh, that's right. He's still gone. But, or like,
and what is the
Thursday? Too.
It's
just
a special meeting.
Okay.
It's
24.
We can't do
yeah.
it all the way.
Oh.
Standard.
Throw some dates. So I'd like to get it set tonight, if we can.
Well, I can throw lots of dates at you, but
3rd of November.
I think the 3rd of November sounds wonderful.
Is that fine with everybody?
It's a Monday.
It works for me.
I don't have my schedule yet, but I'll try to make it work.
Because it is important that we're all here. I know I'd like to have everyone present, so if you can let us know. So we'll look at November 3rd at 6:15. All right, this is on the list, but I think that we can move this until the 3rd to see board goals, CB Tech. We'll discuss that at the board goals meeting. Public comment, is anyone in the audience wishing to address the board? Ms. Gallagher, no?
Nope.
Oh, I thought you were putting yourself down.
You looked like you were headed.
No.
All right.
You can come to Spooky Gym next week.
Can I introduce someone?
You are having them?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought there was a problem.
Yep.
There was. We worked. We figured it out.
I asked Officer Head to be here today. I wanted to introduce our school resource officer, our shared resource officer with Saranac, Officer Head, Beamtown resident. He's been tremendous. We have an issue. We just call Officer Head. He goes over there. It's perfect.
Thank you for coming tonight. All right. Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, two quick things. We kind of talked about it before. So at this year's NISBA, we're doing the resolutions, voting for all the legislature pursuits for education that, just to give you a background on how it works, all the board members in the state are sent essentially an audit, a document, and questionnaire that we respond to. All that information gets it. I'm looking at some stares at me, like you may not remember seeing it, but so everyone gets an email, you get on this portal, you put in, they ask some questions, and you put in your responses. All that information gets tallied up, and it gets sent out to Albany, to NISBA headquarters. Those of us, I'm on the resolutions committee for our area 6, so all of us get together, and we review all the information. We basically follow out what all the board members have asked about or requested. Sometimes it's not exactly what people want because there's some discussion. You all have access to that information. You probably got an email at the end of the last month with what is going to be voted on. So in the future, I think we need to start having more discussion as to these resolutions and our participation in this, because that's what helps us go after legislature and trying to mold things. Subsequent to that, then we were also at the Commissioner's Roundtable. So there was about 25 of us, and the two main topics that he and his vice commissioner discussed were the data and APPR. Right, okay, so just the reason why I mentioned is the data had a lot of holes in it, as Mr. Maddox has pointed out. They're still evaluating it. They're not taking it as gospel. Right now it's about gathering information, understanding all the problems with it and make it better. Before the commissioner got there, and the 25 or so people that were all there, we had some significant discussion on these two categories. And of course, one of them is APPR. Many of the people that were there on boards from other districts happened to be teachers or who were part of the system were also administrators or teachers. There was a general concern about APPR where it was going. That was the feeling of the institution there. So, in so many words, we kind of asked the commissioner about it, and his take was enlightening in that it was more of we're not going out after administration and teachers. This is a tool that needs to grow. It could use some improvement. We've had a lot of great feedback from New York State, because I think it seemed like most of the concern was about it getting carried away as a mechanism. And so he pretty much made everybody feel good that it's still in place as a system to help improve the institution, but it's not a system that's going to run amok.
Thank you very much.
Can I have a local flair to that, please? Yep. Because we've had to address this at a building or with more than one bargaining unit member, let's just say. And it's, for lack of a better word, it's somewhat insulting for some of our people who work so incredibly hard and are so effective to implement a flawed system and work out the kinks, but identify those people who we know as educators are effective, and they pass every test of effectiveness except for this made-up system by the legislature, a political solution to an education problem which doesn't work, right. And we're basically insulting, as I saw firsthand, our educators. Now, can we all get better? Absolutely. As a district, can we get better? Sure. We went through the exercise last year, improving our curriculum and everything. We can. We don't need a system, a flawed system, to tell us to get better. So I just want you to know that there's hurt feelings right here in this district over APPR, and people want to assign blame to that bad system, and mm-hmm. Sometimes they misplace that blame. So it's unfortunate but it's the rules we play by.
Well, there were plenty of examples presented to the commissioner of some districts that have certain categories where staff, as exceptional as they can be, could never meet a category in the APPR because it's not within their purview or whatever, the way the system sets it up. So it's a fault in the system. And so he did highlight how those conditions are being modified, changed, so that it makes more sense.
Now, you said you're going to vote on the resolutions. Is there any particular one that jumps out at you that you say, you know, if we could get this through, that would be a major boon, or one that if we could prevent?
Right.
Is there anything that I'm just wondering? Because I mean, I was reading through some of the different. I think from what they did like last year or something like that. I think I just got the on board or whatever. Right. I had something right. there. And I'm just wondering if there's any ones that jump out at you as particular that says to you, this is a critical one that you would like to see.
There were about maybe 20 discussed, and some fell out because of time, meaning that over the years they've been on there and they've never been voted positively, so they drop them legally, and et cetera. And so there's maybe essentially 12 that move forward. But some of them are somewhat contradictory because some of them are based on, you know, mandates, like you have to provide education, you don't have to provide, you know, pre-K, these kind of things. So they had to do with financial liabilities, right? But I think that at least here in our district, one thing that we could do better is discuss them more here, actually get more feedback from staff, professionals, that kind of stuff, and see where that helps out. You know?
Okay. Did anyone have anything else to add? All right.
I want to make a motion that Andrew be our clerk pro tem.
Is there a second?
I will second that.
Kathy, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion to go to executive session.
Motion by Leonard King, second by Debbie Fastenow. Thank you everyone for coming tonight.
I'm going to have a flight.
To discuss the employment history of a particular person. That's why we're going into executive session.
Will there be action after?
There will not be action after that.
We're all executive.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can we move around for just a couple minutes?
That's why I forgot that.
30 seconds.